Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 15. Judges, chapter 7, verse 15. Judges, chapter 7, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege to gather together as your people and asking for your blessing on your word tonight, that we might hear from you and understand, Lord, more about what you've given to us in salvation, and Lord, more about what your will is for us and how you want to use us for your honor and glory. What a privilege, what a blessing to know that not only have you redeemed us, but then you desire to glorify yourself in and through our lives and through your body, the church. So we ask your blessings tonight on Northwood Baptist Church and on your people, Lord, all your churches and all your missionaries, that you might be honored and glorified, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is a little long tonight, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian, right? I want to take that last portion there. Or really, the confidence of God. Amen. God gives the believer a confidence. By the way, listen, if you'll be reminded, remember, he's going to fight here against the Midianites, and they haven't fought the battle yet, and yet he made this statement, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered. Amen. He's already done it. Wow, what a confidence to walk in. See, when David faced Goliath, the battle was already won in his heart and in his mind, not because of David, but because of God. Amen? God wants us to know that the victory's already been given to you and I. How? In the Lord Jesus Christ. In the death, in the burial, and in the resurrection of the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to walk in that kind of confidence. And so tonight, we just want to take a look at three thoughts tonight. And that is an unexpected company. The second is the Lord's will trusted. That's important. And then the Lord's provision for his servant provided. And God has provided for all of us as his servants. And if you're saved, child of God, you are a servant of the Lord. And God has made provision for that. The challenge, the truth that God is trying to do is to get us to put our faith and trust in him. Not for salvation, we already have that, but in him accomplishing his will in and through our lives. So I just want to back up a little bit here, back to chapter 6, verse 33. And remember, this morning I mentioned that God wanted him, the battle was against the Midianites, right? The battle was against the Midianites, and he first wanted to take down the altars of Baal. That was the lion and the bear. Like for David, God gave him a lion and a bear before Goliath. And so likewise, also God gave Gideon a lion and a bear by pulling down the altar of Baal and standing up for the Lord and experiencing the power of God and the faithfulness of God, because he was able to accomplish that, Gideon, through the power of God. And he walked away and he was alive. He knew, listen, all the people wanted him dead, did they not? And Gideon's dad said, hey, let Baal plead for himself. And so Gideon knew that if it wasn't for the hand of God, if he did that all on his own by himself, they would have killed him. Amen. But because the Lord was there, there was no, rebuttal from the prophets of Baal or from the people of Baal to strike out against Gideon. So now we come to this place here where God is going to move him a little further. You remember when the Lord got into Peter's boat, he was cleaning his nets there. I think it's in Luke chapter 5, and he was saying, Peter, I want you, he was cleaning his nets. He'd fished all night. He caught nothing. He said, I just want you to thrust out a little bit so I can preach. That was easy, right? Just a little bit. If he'd have told him, hey, Peter, let's go out into the deep for a great catch, I think that may have been a little overwhelming, and God knew that. So he said, I just want to take you out a little bit off from the shore. And once I get you out there, and once you hear the word of God, and once you see the work of God, we can go out and see for yourself the will of God, that God wants to make Peter fishers of men. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for his grace, his mercy, and kindness and gentleness towards us
as his people. So look with me here and consider this unexpected company. Again, I want you to keep in mind that Gideon was mindful of what God was saying. And he says, I want you to fight against who? The Midianites. Remember, the Midianites were the people, and they were a big host as it was. But look what happens here in verse 33. So it says, in fact, 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites. Whoops, that was unexpected. He's got the Midianites and he's got the Amalekites, and it doesn't stop there. And the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched their tent in the valley of Jezreel. So here we have a great host of people. Oh my goodness. What? See, he wasn't expecting that. He had in his mind, he understood the size of the Midianite army. Overwhelming as it was, he was not expecting the Amalekites. And by the way, they were there, and all the people of the east there were there because they were following the Midianites. But that's okay. God's battle is against the Midianites, and anybody and everybody who sides up with them will be also in the battle as well. So whoever's on the Lord's side, he says, I will take care of you regardless of whoever the enemy is. Now, that's an important truth for you and I, because sometimes we are only expecting a certain opposition. Sometimes we're expecting maybe a certain difficulty, and then all of a sudden we have one dilemma, one trial, one difficulty, and two or three more things might pop up with that trial, with that trouble. Be confident God is aware of the whole host or anything and everything that is standing in opposition to the will of God, right? To the will of God. And I was having a discussion with somebody, they were talking about how, you know, we understand certain things about how God works and how he reigns on the just and how he reigns on the unjust. But how in the world does the lost person come to the conclusion, say, for example, a farmer who didn't get rain or got too much rain, that this is a good thing for me? And I said, well, it's not really what matters, that what's good for the individual. What God's concerned about and what God's people ought to be concerned about is the glory of God. And that's for sure. Come what may, everything that is in the works is for the glory of God. And if it's for the glory of God, you can count on it being good for you and I. See, sometimes we get frustrated because things didn't go my way. Well, hey, listen, it went God's way, and may God be honored and glorified, and may we put our faith, our trust, and confidence that God is in control regardless of whatever is taking place on this side of eternity. And so we thank the Lord for that. So here we find this unexpected company, and this is bringing really Gideon, and brings all of us to the place of complete faith or complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt Gideon was only expecting to deal with the Midianites. Now he's got the Amalekites, and then he has the children of the east that were gathered together. Notice verse 34, God's intervention, but the Spirit of the Lord, did you see that? Listen, came upon Gideon. So imagine this. So he has this victory, right? Look at verse 32. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. So Gideon was just brought into a victory, was he not? Then notice what happens right here in verse 33. Then, after the victory, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together. Don't you think that might have been a little bit daunting, a little bit overwhelming, a little bit kind of letting the air out of your balloon, right? All of a sudden now, oh my goodness, but look at God's intervention. So you see the enemy, watch this. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched against the valley of Jezreel. But, don't you like that conjunction? God's not done. Amen? But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. God knows what we need to face the battles and the difficulties and trials of life. And rest assured, God is faithful, and he does not want us to fall. He does not want us to fail. He wants us to grow in his grace. So We find here that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, what's the problem here? Well, he needs another glimpse of God's glory. He needs more assurance. He's getting ready to do a bigger thing. What he did before was a big thing. What he did before was a threat to his well-being and his life, but it was to the glory of God, and God is directing him, and God wants to direct us, and on top of that, give us a confidence. But listen, it requires humility in this regard. Lord, I don't want to make one step without you. This is important. If we can't just say, okay, we're going to fight for God. You better make sure that's what God wants you to fight, whatever it might be. We're going to make this stand. We're going to do this. Listen, remember Korah and Dathan? Moses, you take two paws. We're princes of Israel. Well, God showed them a new thing, didn't he, when he opened up the ground, and they didn't pass go. They just went straight to Hades. Amen. I mean, and also listen with Miriam and Aaron when they said, "Oh, and by the way, Moses was concerned about the will of God for all of the people. Moses was concerned about the glory of God. Moses was not concerned about his authority. Because Moses knew it was not his authority, it was God's authority. So Moses didn't say anything. God intervened and called Aaron and Miriam out and said, let me talk to you guys, okay? And then they were kind of a little bit fearful of what was going on. And he says, he called Moses my servant. And so Moses was not concerned about them. Listen, when we're on the Lord's side, we don't have to worry about what we have. Amen? And we won't be offended if they don't. We're not wanting people to follow us. Is that Jesus didn't tell the disciples, make sure you get people to follow you. That's a big problem. He says, point them to me, amen, by my power, by my grace that I've given to you. We want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we ought to be concerned about is an honor is God's authority. That's what David was concerned about, why he would not put his hand against Saul. Was Saul a good guy? Absolutely not. But he was concerned about the authority of God because God said, you can't put your hand against mine anointed. But didn't you make me king? Absolutely. But you can't contradict and you can't fight with my commandment. You cannot put your hand on my anointed and not be guiltless. You can't put your hand on my anointed and be guiltless. And so he understood that. And the reason why David was so faithful to that was because he had a regard and a respect for God's authority. And you and I ought to have a respect for God's authority. Listen, in our lives. Forget about this nonsense. We ought to have a respect for what other people are doing about God's authority. You're gonna run yourself tired. God's only asked you to watch over one person. And you know who that is? It's us, right? It's ourselves. May we be reverent to God's authority. Moses was not concerned about the respect that he was getting. He didn't even argue with them. And by the way, this is what they did. Oh, because Moses married a Cushite. Moses married a woman that was not of the Shemite tribe. In fact, she was after the Hamite tribe. In fact, they say she was probably black. All right? And so Miriam made a big stink about who Moses married, and she was trying to undermine Moses' authority. But it wasn't Moses' authority. It was God's authority, and Moses never took up the fight. God did. And God said, who do you think you are, in so many words, to put your hands and stand against my servant Moses? And so she became leprous, and she had to be put without the camp for 7 days, and then asked Moses to pray for them, and God healed her. But see, it's important that what we are concerned about, that we make a stand like Moses did and not be concerned about the respect we get or we don't get, but whether or not we are following and have respect for God's authority for us personally. Are we obedient? Are we undermining? Are we negligent of the authority that God has placed? In other words, if God said something, that's his authority, amen? Then we ought to follow it. You know, it's an amazing thing. When people get into conflict and people get mad at other people for not doing things the way that they think they should do them, you are not in that position. Amen? I am not in that position. You will find in life, you will have people in authority position, government position, that you will not agree with. Does that negate the fact that God said, I put them there? It does not negate that. If God put them there, whether you like them or not, you ought to obey them. Now, I didn't say you have to agree with them if they stand for things that are against the Lord, but we ought to have honor and respect for them as ones that God had placed there. And if God put them there, God will take care of them and God will deal with them in his own way and in his own good time. I promise you, listen, Nero was placed there by God. He was allowed. I don't understand it, but he was allowed to be placed there. Hitler was placed there. He was the authority. Was he right? Absolutely not. Do you think he's going to give an account one day? He's already giving an account, but he's going to stand ultimately at the great white throne judgment seat of Christ and get the full benefits of the wrath of God for doing what he did. But still, needless to say, listen, God said whether we understand it, and I will tell you, there's many times that I don't understand what's going on in this world. Amen? Many times I say, what is going on? But I have to remind myself, who's in control of everything? Now, it ought not surprise us. The world system is a corrupt system because Satan is over it. Amen. You remember when Jesus was on earth and Jesus went out into the wilderness after he was baptized and the devil tried to make him to go ahead, I'll give you all these things. He was trying to give him what already belonged to him that Satan was over at the moment, and he said, no, I'll not take it now. But there's coming a day. Amen? When it will all be put under my feet. Amen. But you know what? Right now, Jesus, our example, placed himself under the authority when he came to earth. He never stopped being God, but he placed himself under the authority of God the Father. And that's why he said, I don't do anything unless I see him doing it. Oh, what a wonderful truth for God's people. I will do what God is doing. I will do what God says to do, and I will not do what God says not to do. Amen? And so if God says that, listen, I have placed certain people that are going to be over you, submit to them. Respect them. You don't have to agree with them, but respect them. And so here is Gideon getting an understanding and learning what's really important. Because listen, that is one of the key hindrances, I'm convinced today, of the church not being what it could be by the grace and power of God. Because we're not concerned about what God has commanded for us as individual church members. Lord, what is it that you want from me? Well, he says, I want to live through you. I want you to present yourself to me. I want to guide you. And I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want to bear my fruit through your life. And so we ought to take an inventory. Is that taking place? You know, if we're not careful, we're worried about what's going our way, what's not going our way. And we're not even concerned about God's way and what God wants to do in our lives. And so he says, listen, when you're reproached, and you're going to be reproached, when you're hated by the world, and you're going to be hated by the world, turn the other cheek. Amen. You and I, listen, that is a great battle that you will never do it in the flesh. Remember what the Lord said to Nicodemus? That which is flesh is what? Can the flesh ever be pleasing to God? And he said, that which is spirit is spirit. And listen, this is our human. I've thought this. So if you've thought this, join the club. I've thought this. I've looked at people and I said, man, they are so dedicated to the wrong faith. Boy, oh boy, if they'd get saved, what they could do for God. I had it all wrong. Because what they had was in the flesh. It was in the flesh. And they could not take their dedication and their tenacity into the realm of God, and God bless it. Because it's still flesh. See, it has to come from the Spirit of God. And if it doesn't come from the Spirit of God and it's of the flesh, it's what I can do, it's no good. That is an important truth, and that is what God is trying to empty us of ourselves, that He might fill us with Himself. But if we're coming to God with full hands, with ourselves, there's no place to put anything that God wants to put there. We have to set that down in order to take up the things that God wants to give and bring into our lives. And so Gideon says, I need some help. How about you tonight? Do you need some help? I need some help. Amen. So look what he says here. Behold, verse 37, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. So Gideon is needing some confirmation here. Listen, Lord, as long as you'll just make sure that the dew's on the fleece only, that's an interesting thing to happen, right? When dew falls, it falls on everything. When dew doesn't fall, it doesn't fall on anything, right? All right, so he says, I'll know if it falls on the fleece only and the ground is dry, I know that you're going to do this for me. So, verse 38, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow. You think he had an interest in getting up early? He wanted to get up early. He wanted to get there when the dew fell. Amen? And so he got up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together. He wrung it out and bring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how big the bowl was, but there was water in it. And Gideon said unto God, we're good. Praise God, I'm ready to go. No, he didn't say that, did he? Let not thine anger be hot against me. Do you see the reverence that he had? Do you see the respect? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Because technically, that should have been enough. But it's okay that it wasn't, because it's okay with God. If all the disciples tell Thomas, the Lord's risen, that should have been enough. But it wasn't enough. Did God scold Thomas? No. He said, do what you want to do. Put your hand here. Put your finger over here. And I don't think he needed to do that, right? God, listen, this is the greatest part. God wants to give you and me what we need to follow his direction faithfully. What does it mean to follow the Lord faithfully? We throw that on ourselves. Follow the Lord trustingly, we could say. How will we trust the Lord if he doesn't show us his faithfulness? See, why is it that you trust your best friend? They've proved themselves to you. You would say, oh, no. And by the way, listen, and then one of the greatest catastrophes in a friendship is for a friend to let you down, right? And you don't want to be that friend to let anybody down, but here's the wonderful truth. God will never let us down. He'll never fail us. So Gideon said unto God, verse 39, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. That reminds me of Abraham, you know, when he was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there's 50, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? He was thinking of Lot. Lord, if there's 40, 30, he got down to 10, remember? I think Abraham was taking inventory. Let's see now. There's Lot, there's his wife, there's his daughters. And I think he's taking inventory. Surely he's told a couple people, surely at least 10, right? Listen to this very carefully. God said no to his request, but yes to his desire. He wanted Lot spared. He did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but he did spare Lot, didn't he? Isn't that amazing how God works? All right. So he said, I'm going to speak this once. Let me prove, I pray thee. Let me prove, he says, I need this confidence, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. So he said, we're going to change it. We're going to reverse it. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? We're going to flip it. And God did so that night. Okay, I'll do it. And it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, verse 1 of chapter 7, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Mori in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people, listen to this, ready? God just gave Gideon what he needed to lead the people, did he not? And he's evaluating, he's looking at his army and the army, the opposition army. And the Lord says something that he probably, tell me, I don't think he saw this coming. Amen? I don't think, but he just put, God just gave him something to, in spite of what the world would do, in spite of even what his own heart would do, he could not deny what God just did for him. And God wants to do things in your life. Our faith is not invisible. It has many proofs that God wants to bring into that the world can't see, but that God shows you that he is faithful. He wants to do that, but we have to be willing to enter into the will of God and into his glory and to his authority and not lean to our own understanding. We can't just pick, I'll follow God here. I don't think so here. I'll follow God over there. Well, I'll think about that one. We can't play games with God like that. We've got to be wholeheartedly into it so that God can show us things that will solidify our trust and our faith in his great faithfulness. Listen, the only reason why you and I will obey the Lord is because we see and we have, and God has given to us a reverence of his authority. I don't want to stand against the Lord. I would rather people belittle me than me belittle God's authority. He says, get up early. There in verse 1 of chapter 7. And he pitched beside the well there. And then he gets all situated for this battle in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, listen to this. The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. What? What? But God didn't stop right there. He gave the reason. God will give you and I understanding that, listen, I don't think Gideon had the opportunity to say, now, God's going to cut our army down, and this is why. I don't think he had time to do all those things, but God was leading Gideon, and I don't know how many of the other people that were following Gideon had a complete understanding of what God was doing in the life of Gideon. But when God is in leadership in the life of an individual, the other people are going to follow. God will instill it in their hearts. And so notice what happens right here. The Lord said, hey, listen, there's too many to give Israel this victory, lest Israel, at the bottom of verse 2, vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So what happens? Notice. Now therefore go proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10. We're talking, he just lost 2/3 of his army. He just lost 2/3. And he's getting ready to fight an unbelievable amount of host. But see, listen, if we learn anything, God is wanting to make sure that we don't rob him of his glory. That's what he's wanting to make sure. And if we're not careful, listen, we are robbing God because we're not seeing God working in our lives the way that he wants to. We're too busy doing this and doing that for God, and God's not doing much for us. And all we're doing is we're saying, well, look what we've done. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants to bless the church. God wants to build the church. We're too busy coming up with our own ideas and with our own ways. And listen, I'm not saying that it's wrong to do certain things, but I want to tell you, if we're not careful, we're getting away from what God is wanting to have to take place, and that is that he would glorify himself. And do you think he needs our programs to fill a church? Wait a minute, Lord, let me come up with a real winner this time. And God saying, you know, I'll wait until you're done. God is wanting to do work. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but if we're not careful, we're putting our faith and trust, and even our hearts are, well, nothing's going to happen until we do this. What? Really? Nothing's going to happen until I think this takes place. Show me in the Bible where it says that God's going to build his church by whatever your idea or my idea is. And I'll show you in the Bible where it says that Jesus said he will build his church. That's important. And I'm not saying programs are wrong by any stretch. Please don't get that thought. But I am saying I think we're missing the Lord and what he wants to do personally in our own lives. And so they all departed. And then we find here in verse 4 what's going on here. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, whose authority we're talking about? Was this Gideon's idea? He's saying, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. I want you to respect. It's like coming up to an artist. A master artist, and no matter how much skill you have, and they're painting a picture, wait a minute. I think if you add this color, what is that artist going to say? Have you lost your mind? Where are you coming from? And then we if we're not careful, we come up to the Lord and we say, wait a minute, God, I know you said you'd build your church, but hear my idea. Look at what I got in mind. And we're interfering. We think we're helping, but we're interfering with God saying, I want to tell you what I want you to do, but you're too busy presenting me with your ideas. So when you're done and you're ready to look to me, like I told you to, then we can do business. And so Gideon is at this place where he says, Lord, unless you do it, we can't. He knows his weakness. And so notice what's going on right here. He says, there's too many yet. For it shall be that whom I shall say, I said to go, I want them to go. And those that stay, I want them to stay. Verse 5. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So first of all, the fearful were let go. Man, that was a happy day for them, wasn't it? Woo! No, they missed out. They missed out on seeing God's deliverance because they were fearful. Listen, God was leading Gideon to the victory, and Gideon was telling them, and they had already seen that he had pulled down the altars of Baal. By the grace of God, they'd already seen that, and Gideon was telling them, God is going to deliver the Midianites into our hands, and they were yet fearful, and so they left, and I want you to know, they were happy, but they missed out on seeing God's deliverance. So here are the 300 men. And notice what happens here, verse 8. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now, I want you to see what they're getting ready to see here, and I want you to know that he is trusting God's will. You don't hear any complaints. He's not complaining. He's really got to come to the place of this conclusion. Ready? God knows more than what I know. And I am convinced that God can do anything with anyone. He's already seen it. This is just becoming solidified in the heart and mind of Gideon more and more. And he is learning to let go of his way of thinking, because this was not Gideon's way of thinking, was it? To let go of those 22,000 men, was it? To whittle it down to 300, was it? It was not Gideon's idea. Pray tell, whose idea was it? Would you and I have ever come up with a plan like that? We would have said, bless God, the more the merrier, at least for me. Amen? The more people on our side, the better odds we have. But we're not talking odds here. We're talking about the glory of God, glorifying himself in the things that are weak, in the things that are small, in the things that are base, that he might humiliate the world with his glory. And so here they are, and they're in the valley. And the last thought here, we find the Lord's provision for his servant provided. Notice verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Now, do you think the Lord knows where Gideon is at? Do you think the Lord knows everything about Gideon? Now, I'm convinced the Lord knew that he was committed, that Gideon was committed, even though it didn't make sense. I think David and Jonathan were committed to the glory of God, even at their own expense. That's how we have to be committed to the Lord, even at our own expense. We have to be, but if I don't do it, it won't happen. It won't work out. Oh, listen, then we won't see God work until we put how much of it into his hands? Oh, not just some, not just 50%, and then we'll do the rest? 75? You got to give it all. Give all your trust to the Lord, or we dishonor him. And so, he says here, okay, so he says, and it came to pass, verse 9, the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. If you fear to go down, and he did, he wanted this confirmation. Praise God, you can be up front with the Lord. You can be real with God because he knows where you're at already. We're not hiding anything from God. He knows what we need. Listen to this, verse 11. And thou shalt hear what they say. You're going to go down to the host. And by the way, God still saw the enemy not as the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. He just saw them as the Midianites. Who's ever in this camp, they're the Midianites. They're going to pay the price. But he says to his servant, if you're afraid, go down with your servant, right? And notice this, verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east, that's for us to understand who was there, lay along the valley, listen to this, like grasshoppers for multitude, listen to this, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. He's got 300 men. You think he had faith in his God? Could he have put any faith in his 300 men? Would you put faith in 300 men against that kind of a multitude? I would say that's a losing proposition. Unless God is in it. Unless God is in it. Because we're concerned about what God says, and we're concerned about what God wants to do his way, not ours. And so, there's this multitude, and if he wasn't afraid before, I dare say, when he saw that, he was saying, ready? There's no way I could ever do this. Oh, God, I need your help. Now, watch this. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. Remember? He said, I want you to go with your servant, and I want you to listen to what's being said. Watch this. Ready? And a man told a dream unto his fellow, verse 13, and said, behold, I dream a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto the tent. Listen to this. And smote it that it fell. This little barley loaf came and smote this tent and overturned it that the tent lay along. Listen to this. And his fellow answered, this guy answers and said, it can be nothing else except save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, and a man of Israel. Listen to this. There's the enemy. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. The enemy is saying this. And it was so, verse 15, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream. See, listen, God knew what he needed to hear. Does God know what you and I need to hear? Absolutely. Are we willing to trust the Lord in his might, in his strength, in his authority, in his way? Question, does he need us really to build his church? No, we need him to build his church. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream. Listen, and the other guy giving the interpretation and the interpretation thereof. Listen, what did he do? He worshiped. He worshiped in his spirit. The Spirit of God convinced him, you won. Because of who I am, you will win. And this gave him concrete to stand on that was unmovable. He was on the rock. Amen? And he worshiped. And he returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He saw it as one army too. Who did he see? He saw the Lord. God wants to build his church, and who does he want you and us to see? He wants us to see him. Or does he want us to see some dynamic Sunday school teacher? Some dynamic preacher? I'll tell you the first thing. I am nothing without God. Amen. And even with God, I'm still nothing unless God does something. Amen. And I want you to know something. Listen, God is not finished with his church. Amen. The only problem is, I'm afraid to say, God's church has been finished with God for some time, and they're too busy trying to do this and try. And if we had this, and if we can do this, and if we can achieve that, and if we can move to this goal, and if we can do this, then we'll have a crowd. I think we're missing God. I think it's time for God's people to fall on their face and say, oh God, I am so sorry that I have been leaning to my own understanding of what I thought and neglecting the fact that you are the builder of your church for your honor and glory. Do you think Gideon understood where the victory came from? Where's the victory come from? And God convinced him of it, didn't he? Amen. Listen, the victory still comes from God. Amen. We just need the Lord to convince us of it. Amen? So tonight, God wants to give us his confidence so that we can say, arise, amen? For the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Maybe we could say, oh God, we need you. Do you want to see souls saved? We need the Lord. Do you want to see the work of God done? Let's not come up with some idea, not that the programs are wrong, but may God empower his people first. Who does he want to be the witness? Who does he want to be the light of the world? The salt of the earth? And so God is wanting to work through your life and mine, and then we'll see when we're ready. God, I want, that's God's way. That's God's plan. That's God's authority. I want to work through you. And if we would say, God, I don't know that your work has been done in my life like you want it done. In fact, maybe we'd say, Lord, I don't think your work is being done the way you want it done. See, we have to really see how little we are and how big God is, lest we say, my own hand has done this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, may you Move in our hearts and minds like only you can. Bless your people, Lord. Build your church. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.